Well, yes, when I've gotten involved, there's the arts and stewardship. Some of it's just weeding or helping to restore areas around the ravine. But what I've always appreciated is the community that I've gotten involved with a large project, which is weaving willow. There's a woven beaver with willow and its lodge. And it always draws people. When you're working there, people just stop and talk. People want to talk, and you learn so much about the community, the history of the community. And so a lot of what happens with this, it's very much about community building. That's one of the nice aspects of it. And it's one of the intentions as well.
Definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, I hope the weather gets a little better and you have a good, like, last
Yes.
day of the festival.
Thank you, Karen.
I guess, yeah, have you heard anything about how the weekend was going due to the
It
rain and...
was good, I think. It was, I mean, numbers last year was the first full moon festival after COVID. And I mean, the weather was really nice, so the numbers were very large. They were down this year because of the rain, but it looked like everyone had a good time. I mean, people were there, and especially for the lantern installation, there were quite a few people.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Well, Lynn, thanks for taking the time today. And yeah.
Okay, thanks very
Bye.
much. Okay, bye.
So, this was the interview with Joe Boyd, one of the artists from the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival. Again, the festival is over now, but you can again still visit their website, stillmoonarts.ca, and see what they have been planning and further events. Next, I want to share with you a short 15 minutes documentation about climate activists.
Everybody would be better off if the price of fossil fuels was honest. It should include its cost to society.
Now, Stephen, you say the sun is out. It looks like a white wall behind you. I can't imagine living
heat
like
waves deadlier than before. Health conditions like heart attacks more common. A highly anticipated report from one of the world's leading medical journals says climate change could cause all
of that.
The
climate crisis is more severe than even many scientists have acknowledged.
Climate change is the most complex problem in human history. It threatens our livelihoods and all species on the planet. While the situation seems bleak, there's lots of positive change happening. People have come together around the world to stand up against big corporations and idle leaders. My name is Rebecca Visser. This story is about the concerned citizens fighting this battle and their unwavering commitment to social and climate justice. Who are the people on the front lines of the climate movement?
I think we're on the verge of an exciting time. The bad man in Ottawa is gone. Divestment campaigns are gaining momentum. Pipeline proposals are collapsing. New investments in the tar sands and LNG are evaporating.
We have many options for what to do. We have many options to follow through with on how to turn around this really messed up state the entire world is in. But unless we are led with love, we're not going to get anywhere. So I say hi tsapka to each of you for being here with light and love and peace in your hearts.
On an icy Friday night, I went to an art build at the Toast Collective. Here, a group of about 10 people were preparing displays for the upcoming Vancouver Climate March in solidarity with other demonstrations taking place around the world. With 2 days left, last-minute plans and banners still needed to be completed. The whole floor was covered with blue, red, and green paint, canvases and cardboard, artfully crafted into props and signs. This is Claire describing what they've been working on.
This is the Alliance of Small Island States, which always shows up at the COP and struggles a lot for recognition because of sea level rise, they will actually go underwater.
Right, they're actually
they're
really
struggling for
that,
survival.
Yeah.
So this is what we wanted to draw on. This whole boat is just about like rising ocean levels, And sort of, it's sort of alluding to the fact that these people will be climate refugees. We still have to make that. a lot of ideas. Not a lot of cardboard.
I caught up with a few prominent leaders. They each found their own way into activism and carved their own roles into the climate movement. Let's start with Peter.
My name is Peter McCartney. I'm the climate campaigner for the Wilderness Committee.
I asked him how he got into climate justice.
In university, in journalism school, I got exposed to what was going on in climate change. And when I heard about this, I thought, oh, if people only knew this story, if people could only be informed. It's a really difficult story to communicate sometimes, you know, an invisible gas that we're all part of and that threatens our future on this planet. And I thought, if you could tell this story right, then people would be motivated to take action in their own lives.
Kishel is also active in the community. She took a break from studying for her finals to speak with me over the phone.
My name is Kishel Thiessen, and I'm on the board of 350 Vancouver. I'm also a mother of two children and an economics student at SFU.
We were talking about her role in the movement.
I was very entrenched in the idea that I was going to make a change academically. I loved to write. I loved doing research. And so I really saw my piece in that puzzle as being someone doing kind of behind-the-scenes work in policy. And that's what drove me to go into economics.
Kishel is a very passionate person. It's hard to imagine her in a stuffy economics class. That said, she believes policy is a crucial component to solving climate change. But even she recognizes that this strategy has its difficulties at times.
Right around all the Burnaby Mountain stuff that was happening last year, I was getting increasingly frustrated because we were always told that you're supposed to make a change. People say, don't go out and scream in the streets. You're supposed to do all of these proper processes first, right? Your MLAs, get laws changed. And yet it was the government changing the laws. They changed the NEB process and they made it harder for people to have their voice. And I saw these other people out there protesting, and then they said, well, we're going to put an injunction in so that you can't actually protest. And that point, I just snapped, because everyone was saying, you know, you've got to do it in these legal avenues, but the government itself was changing those legal avenues so there was no venue for the common person to speak.
Now, the Burnaby Mountain stuff Kishel is referring to is the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion that was proposed to go through Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area. Kinder Morgan is the company who applied for the expansion, sending workers to survey the area and began excavating the land. Kishel was among the hundreds to protest the proposal in November 2014. Also there was Valine Jules, an Indigenous youth activist.
Na'atich uklas ish Valine Jules histitis nuchanos uch ish kokwak yuak nations.
She had a life-changing experience during the protest, and she wanted to spend the anniversary of the injunction as she had the year before, next to the sacred fire, hissing because of the moisture on its bark. We were sitting on the side of Burnaby Mountain along with Kishel and a few others.
Probably half of you don't know, Burnaby Mountain was my turning point in joining this movement. And because I was initially doing a research project in college in relation to economics and politics, the two topics I've avoided my entire life. And I stumbled upon the word decolonization, and I never heard of it before. So I was intensively looking into the journey of decolonization and the meaning behind that word. And one of the questions that stood out for me in relation to revolution and decolonization and positive change was, how can we take action for meaningful change beyond protesting and raising awareness? And I asked the big leagues this question, the academics, the professors, and people who've been involved a lot longer than me. and surprisingly they struggled to answer. So afterward I realized I've never been to one protest or raised awareness on the issues that are important to me. So I went to the nearest protest up the mountain just to witness it, and I became so inspired by the people's stories and how passionate everybody was, not just about resisting destructive pipelines or respecting indigenous rights. They were passionate about much more than that, and you could see it in their eyes and hear it in their words and feel it in their presence. And that just inspired me. Well, saying it inspired me is an understatement. Like, it was that big for me. It was my turning point, my serendipity. And I ended up living right here under a tarp for 11 days and made the most difficult decision of my life and sacrificed schooling, college basketball, and self-care to commit myself to this movement and to creating real change.
Is only 19 years old. She is wise beyond her age. Her insights are razor sharp, and everything she says is shrouded with beauty. She was one of the speakers at the Climate March on Sunday, November 29th, 2015. The day is sunny, but the air is cold. Everyone is excited and joyful. Peter and I met up at the march. We talked about why this is such an important day and what still needs to be done.
Well, we're here at the Vancouver Art Gallery. We're going to march around downtown in solidarity with communities all across the world, telling our world leaders that are meeting in Paris that we need real meaningful action on climate change now. I think people really started to connect the dots and say this isn't a problem for future generations. This is a problem now. And that really, we don't have time to waste. Meaningful action means stopping fossil fuel export projects. It means cutting fossil fuel subsidies and designing communities that that allow people to reduce their carbon footprint.
I asked him, what else can people do to get involved?
There's kind of two sides to the coin. There's opposed projects like the LNG terminals, coal exports, and pipelines that are coming through your communities. In British Columbia, that's a great way for citizens to get involved. You can sign petitions, you can write your local leaders. There's a groundswell of communities here that are on the front lines opposing those projects. The other side, obviously, activism necessarily isn't for everybody, but if you take action to make your community greener, plant community gardens, advocate for better transit. There's all these solutions to climate change that we need everyone involved.
I pose the same question to Cashel.
And I would invite people to be concerned citizens who are engaged with the political system rather than creating this tiered system of environmentalists and activists. It's something we should all be doing and something we all can do. Everyone's going to have their own doorway to get involved, and often for an individual, something's going to come up that speaks to them so strongly that they can't ignore it, and they're going to find a way to get involved. But I think there's also a problem where folks aren't sure where the right place to get involved is, and we're told so often not to reinvent the wheel, so folks are wary of getting involved in something that they don't know if it's already being done. So I think if someone is interested, the best thing that they can do is reach out and see what's going on locally in their communities. If they're interested in climate justice, there's probably someone working on it there. And the best thing they can do is go to a few meetings, see what's happening, and ask what they can do to get involved. If that seems a little bit daunting, we really need to get back into the habit of writing our elected officials. These letters actually do mean something.
I asked her, what do you love most about your activist work?
Being in these groups of people working towards these amazing things. So much heart, so much sacrifice, so much knowledge from all the different people I meet. It's been this amazing community, and I've learned so much from people. And I think one of the best parts, if we're going to use the word activist, the best part of being an activist is that you get to work every day with the people you admire.
A year ago, I was really confused about my place in the climate movement, and I didn't know what I should do or the right place to be was. And I posed this question to our next speaker, and he said that it's kind of like trying to get a tree up a mountain. If everybody grabs onto the tree in the same place, you have too much energy going into one place and you're going to fail. But if everybody grabs onto the tree in the place that feels right, you'll all work together to bring the tree up the mountain. The message in this is that you should continue working on what you're passionate about. You should find your place in the climate movement. You matter and you make a difference.
For inspiration. I want to bring you back to when you were 5 years old and ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? You may say a teacher, or a bird, or an astronaut, or a star. You may change your mind several times. The beautiful thing about this is that you had the creativity, the imagination, and the passion needed to believe in yourself. You had the courage to declare that there are endless possibilities. This passion fades with the years when you realize that you are growing up in a competitive, capitalist society that is responsible for the issue of our time, climate change. This passion fades when you become familiar with the idea of impossible. But you should know that impossible is an opinion, not a fact.
What's most inspiring about Kishel, Peter, and Baleen is while they are leaders, they are also people like you and me. They see climate change as a monumental challenge for our generation, but they're doing something about it. We need everyone involved because this is a problem that affects us all. We need to revolutionize our relationship with the Earth to protect our ability to live on it. Produced with support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM on unceded Coast Salish territory, Burnaby, BC, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. I want to thank Baleen Jules, Peter McCartney, and Kishel Thiessen for their involvement in this project, and all of the people I spoke with along the way. Thanks to Alex Brown for his piano sample, and thanks to Jamie Sesford for all of his help.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. In cities, you may notice some roofs that are covered with plants. Many of these green roofs are planted with a low-lying ground cover like sedum. Other more elaborate ones include a variety of plants.
Ranging from small flowers, grasses, shrubs, up all the way to trees.
Catherine McConnell of Brown University says replacing dark rooftops with vegetation provides many benefits.
Green roofs can help control stormwater runoff if you have sort of a sudden precipitation event. Green roofs can provide amazing pollinator habitat for urban biodiversity, and they also can be really fantastic public spaces for people.
Green roofs can help cities adapt to global warming, too. They can insulate the building below, which saves energy, and some even provide local cooling. But in a study in Illinois, McConnell found that green roofs varied in their ability to reduce surface temperatures, as well as the amount of water and maintenance they require. So more research is needed to assess different designs and maximize the benefits of green roofs as the climate warms.
We want to figure out ways of adapting the places we live so that people experience less of those heat impacts.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Next up, I want to play for you a song called Doubt, and it's by Portugal the Man. Life is a dead end.
Nobody told me. my heart is blinded by you. Is it the end, my friend? Or is it coming around, around again? Is it the end, my friend? I can come up forever. Is he the best?
Jen LaFranc.
Hi, this is Betty Levitt, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
Hi, this is Adam Cullen, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
You are listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc on 90.1 FM or on the web at cjsf.ca.
Hi, this is Hillary Scott, and you're listening to On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc.
Hey, you're listening. Should I say I'm Jan Orden?
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Tune in every Wednesday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. for On the Tracks with Jen LaFranc, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
The clouds will blow away.
So, the last song that I'm going to play for you today is by Rahil, who is a Canadian artist, and the song is called Rise So I Rose. After that, we will hear Democracy Now. Thanks so much for listening today.
Comes on down to its thread. Is it gonna be the real thing or the next? Can I hear you speak correctly or a flex? When it's vapors to my right and to my left. Sometimes you think you know somebody but recess. Quit believing they just trying to impress. Is the temperature suspicious? Let me check.
Above or tire of it, all the same. If the temperature's suspicious, who's to blame?